In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, most of the turkey has been consumed. The stuffing is gone. Maybe a little bit of dessert left in the fridge. There's still a bit of turkey that we stashed away for that cold turkey sandwich at the bottom. And our Lord Jesus Christ has been born safely into the world. Everyone has gone home full from overeating and haven't had enough of family to last them for a while. And now we start again. God is good. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Like Genesis 1, a new year, a new beginning. God, the creator of all of us, God, light, true light from true light, begotten and not made. God, the Father, the true light, and Jesus, his Son, also the true light. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. Here is Jesus, the light for all people. The light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Here we see the light overcomes darkness, that God will overcome evil. This is our salvation. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. All who accept Christ as their Savior are disciples of Christ, and therefore are his children. However, just like children, we don't really behave very well. We fight with our siblings. We say cruel things to hurt them. We take things from each other. And often we just think about ourselves. I recently saw that classic play by Thornton Wilder called Our Town. There's so much richness in that play. It makes the point of how precious life really is. It reinforces that life is a gift, one not to be taken for granted. The young mother who died goes back to her hometown, something corners, to see how selfish, to see herself growing up as a younger child. She got upset with herself to see how selfish she was, and how upside down her priorities were, and how she could have shown so much more love to her family and her friends. But she didn't. I think we take for granted that we are here and we have free will. Not stopping to realize that we were created out of the goodness of God. In the beginning was the Word, and out of the Word God created us. He created us with a purpose. What was that purpose? A teacher put it in the words that stuck to me. We are put here to love, honor, and serve God. In our catechism on page 847, explaining what our duty to God is regarding the Ten Commandments, it says we are to love and obey God and bring him to others. Wow. What does love, honor, and serve mean? I pretty much think everyone here, anyway, love God. I'm sure if I asked for an amen, I'd get a unanimous vote on that this morning. As for the second mandate, to honor God, I think we all would think that we honor God by coming to church on Sunday and probably other ways in our lives. We do. But how else can we honor God? Maybe by doing something to show others that we are followers of God, that our lives are examples of his grace. Now that's a pretty big thing. For our lives to be examples of His grace takes some real thought on our part. Honoring God is a tall order, but we are all called as Christians to be that example. I try to honor my parents, my wife. I know when I haven't. So I can use that as a basic example to see how I can honor God. Now the third thing is to serve God. That's a bit more difficult, because that will require a more detailed description of what to serve means. Anyway, I think most of us try to serve God, at least when we think about it. How could we all serve God? I don't think God wants us all to be priests and deacons. Not enough room up here. But we are all ministers, in a sense, as baptized Christians. I do think He wants us to serve Him by serving others. You know, at the Last Supper, He did that washing of feet thing as an example of making Himself a servant to others. So maybe He wants us, as our table blessing says, to be mindful of the needs of others. This is a continual challenge in our lives, to be aware of what others need. During our conversations with them, we don't always hear what others are really saying. We don't always perceive what is being said, so we need to work on our listening skills. We can ask God to help us hear what people are really saying, how we can help them. And in helping them, we help ourselves. I'm grateful to be created and loved by God the Father, God the Son. God has given each and every one of us here abilities that we can use to serve Him. Some of you know what your abilities are. Some of you may say, I have no ability. That's not true. The ability to know how to garden, or to cook, to use a computer, to drive a car, to read, or just to listen to people and be compassionate. All of these abilities can be used to serve Him. But first you have to recognize that God has given these to you and use them when you can. These abilities are not forever. As we grow older, some of them go away. We can't count on being so independent all the time. My parents, who are pretty well up in age and not so good at health, have lost some of their abilities. My dad, who was not very understanding when I was growing up, now calls me and asks my advice and hears me. So his ability to listen has improved. My mother, whose faith is the center of her life, has made an example of herself and our family. And many of our family have seen God at work in her life and have come to recognize God in their lives. These are abilities that God has given them to replace some of the ones they're no longer able to have. So maybe we can first become aware of what God has given us, and then maybe we can see how we can share those abilities with others while we can. God has a way of leading us and giving us opportunities if we're open to His Word. I think we need to take some time to listen to what God is calling us to. I believe that we can make some time to listen for God's words in our lives. The Bible is full of examples of mostly ordinary people who heard God calling them to do something. Many of them, like Moses, at first they deny their hearing. Then they tell them they're not worthy. Remember Jonah? That whole fish thing? My brothers and sisters, God is speaking to all of us. If you were to look back on your life like the plague in our town, what would you see? I see things in my youth that I wonder how in the world did that I think that was important. It seems so unimportant now. Did the outlook change? Or my eyes just open to see things differently? As we're about to close this year in 2010, let's take stock. It's time for our New Year's resolutions. Let's make a promise to God and to ourselves. Let us see what is truly important in the time we have left here on earth and try to use it with that knowledge in mind. I believe this can start with making time for God every day. Start the day with prayer. End the day with prayer. Read His words. I promise to try harder this next year to spend time in daily prayer. We can make this a new beginning for all of us today. We are all children of God. We can love, honor, and serve God. My prayer for you is that during this Christmas season, you have encountered the one who has changed the world. The Word became flesh. And that you will allow Him to work in your hearts for as long as you shall live. In the name of the Father.